So I'm going to try to stand up the entire time, but I may end up needing to sit down. My legs are kind of worn out. And then I come in and I listen to Thurman tell me how he gets on the treadmill up there for 30 minutes and then goes and gets on another one for a long time. And
that's what he said.
So he was wearing me out listening to all the exercise he does. I like the first day, I think I made it for a whopping 10 minutes, and I've moved up. I made it 25 minutes on that bicycle on Thursday. Yep. There you go. Won't be long before he'll be up there for half the day. So last week we talked about how we're built for relationships, and that we were going to cover four of them. Last week we talked about three different relationships that we were built for. One was with God, one was with our spouse, and we also talked about being built for a relationship with our families, with our children. And then today we're going to look at how we're built for relationships with fellow believers. So whenever I was preparing this, you guys are going to find out today why it was that I really didn't want to add this on last week, because it's rather long and I got to learn a lot and connect personally with some of this, because I was designed in a way that I became very introverted. You know, we can say that it was my surroundings and somewhat, but it's weird that in the same family I became so introverted, and then my brother Jeremy, who's the middle one, became so extroverted, and then BJ just kind of in between somewhere. So it's kind of a weird thing of the way that I'm built. I usually recharge best whenever I am in a people-free environment, being that in my office or whatever. And it's not that I don't like people by any means. It is that I was just designed differently. And extroverted people, they recharge when they're in a large group and they're the life of the party and all that kind of stuff. So that's just not the way that that I'm built. And sometimes I get in so much time. I'm at work with people all day long, and then I come home and I've got my family, and I may go and do other things during the week, and eventually sometimes Amber has to be like, okay, this is enough. You need to just take a day, tell everybody on Saturday you're busy, you can't do anything, and you need to take a day to just be by yourself, because you're starting to get kind of irritable. So sometimes I have to do that, and Amber tries to help that. But the thing is, it's kind of complicated for me, because I've got this pastor's heart that I want to love people and spend the time getting to know them, but I also need time alone. And those have been there for a long time. You see, whenever we have like the fellowship and all that kind of stuff, sometimes you find me in here playing my guitar or just taking a little mini break or whatever, so that I can have some by myself time and go back out and have some more fun. So it's kind of a unique thing with me, but I think that other introverts are kind of the same way. So I just kind of wanted to preface this message with that idea of doing life with other people. For me also is kind of a foreign thing. I enjoy my privacy at my house, and I've even told Amber that whenever the kids move out, I want to build a little bitty house that there's only one room in it, and put up a gate and lock the gate so the kids can't get back in, but she won't let me do any of that. So I'm kidding. I love my kids. But that's the introverted me that wants to kind of be out there by myself. But the problem with it is that the more and more that I start studying in God's Word, and more that I get involved in other people's life, the more that I'm actually able to love people. It's hard for me to love people and be locked up in my house and not really interacting with everyone. So whenever I start getting involved in people's life, I can get past the surface of everything, and I get to know people, and I start becoming more observant and getting some more insight in how I can love people. And I'm sure that all of you guys have people that it's the same way. The more that you get to know them, the more that you know what their struggles are, and the more that you know how to pray for them and how you can kind of help them. Is that pretty accurate for everybody? So in this study and trying to kind of narrow it down at why it might be that God really built us for a relationship with other believers, I think that I came up with one of the main reasons that kind of encompasses so many other things. That whenever we're able to gather with other believers and people that know the truth about Jesus, that I think one of the big reasons is because we're to bear each other's burdens. Have any of you guys ever gone through anything difficult in life? Travis hasn't. He's back there going, no. He's never lived in a tent for 2 years. So, but we've all had, you know, some difficult times, and I've been through a lot of different tough times in my life, from lots of things in my childhood that I can remember, but going back partway, getting kicked out of high school for fighting all the time was a big tough thing, because I had to start homeschooling, and that was different because the lady that my parents got to homeschool me was mean. She made me do the schoolwork, and there was no way getting out of doing the schoolwork. And she made me do schoolwork. Whenever I was in high school, you know, you do schoolwork from 8 or 9 in the morning till, you know, 3 in the afternoon or whatever. Whenever I was at her house, I did schoolwork from 6 a.m. until midnight. And I was used to sleeping for 10 hours, but not at their house, because my mom worked at the power plant, and it was too hard to get me back and forth. So I would go over there and spend the day with her children, and she made me do schoolwork the entire time. But the good news was, in about a year and a half, I did finish high school, so I had that. That was a tough time. My parents divorcing whenever I was 19 or 20, that was a tough time. I lost jobs right after two of my kids were born. Within months, I didn't have a job and didn't know how I was going to take care of my family or feed them. So I've been there with that. I've told you guys about some addictions with gaming and smoking. I had those addictions, and I've been through like a whole lot of things. And through some of these things, I had some people that I could actually talk to, some good friends that I could go to and see what they thought of it, see, you know, their perception, and sometimes just get things off my chest and talking with them. But other times, I didn't really have anybody and to talk to you. And sometimes that's not a bad thing. Whenever all you've got is Jesus to talk to, He's there to listen to, and that's a great way to sort things out. But that's that relationship with God, and sometimes we need to have some people that we can go to be mentored also. So some of the things that I've been through in even the recent years, I know that I've got guys that I can text or call and say, hey, I need some prayer. I've got, you know, this thing going on in my life. I'm not really ready to tell you guys what that is, not you guys, but who I'm talking to. But I need some prayer. I'm being tempted with this, and I want to get past it. I need some prayer. And sometimes I do tell them what it is, and we're able to talk through that and figure out some things that I can put into place to prevent me from doing that. So it's been a lot better whenever I actually have someone that I'm able to talk to, and I know them, I trust them, they're able to mentor me, and they're able to give me advice, because that's what guys do, right? We give each other advice because we want to fix things. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to say, here's how you fix it. So we have that. But whenever we look at what God says in the Bible, He says that we're to bear each other's burdens. That's a tough thing. So I'm going to say that one again. We are to bear each other's burdens. And our burdens have a wide range between even our small group here. We all have these different burdens that we have to bear. It may be something sinful in our life that we have going on, or it may be that we're seeing some sins that someone else is going through. It could be our kid. It could be a variety of these different things that's going on, or it could just be something that's just bothering us that we don't know how to deal with, some worry and some things like that that's going on. And it's nice to be able to have someone that we can call on and be able to talk with them about that, to be able to be encouraged or build up. So I want to take a look at Galatians 6, 1 through 10, and it should be able to come through on the screen. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Verse 6, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are in the household of faith. So in verse 1, we can get that those who are more spiritual should be able to restore a brother or sister that's caught in some kind of transgression with gentleness. And that, to be able to do that, we kind of have to know that person and know what's going on, or we're not going to have a trust factor there that they're able to be open and honest with us enough that they're going to say, hey, I've got this thing going on and I need some prayer. I'm asking for prayer for this. So it could be that this brother or sister is outside of the law of God, like what it talks about there in the first verse, or it could be that that they just need some encouragement, that they're going through, and we're able to come to them and they can tell us what's going on. We can mentor them, and we're going to go over some different ways that we can do that here in just a moment. So I don't want to jump ahead of myself, which is what I'm starting to do. But the very next thing he talks about is that we need to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. So we're not supposed to go to somebody and say, hey, you're messing up, you need to get this fixed, or you're going to go to hell or whatever. That's not the appropriate way to do something. We're to do it with a spirit of gentleness and understanding. Go to someone and say, hey, you know, I know that you've got these things going on, and I've been studying about some of this because I've had it in my life also. And here's what God's word says about that, and we can talk to him in gentleness. But the next thing that we look at there is that we need to keep watch for ourselves lest we'll be tempted. Like, what does that really mean? What could possibly happen if we're trying to help somebody and then we're tempted? And then I started thinking of, like, if someone is having some kind of an issue with, like, a big lie that they told at their job or whatever, they're trying to get a promotion, they're trying to move forward or whatever, then they may, while we're trying to be of wise counsel, they may get that promotion. Then we might start thinking, wow, maybe I should tell a lie at my job too, and it doesn't seem so bad to tell that little bitty lie there, right? Maybe it can get me more money. So there's ways that we could be tempted by someone else's transgression also, and that's just, you know, thinking of one kind of out loud that we could do. And then the very next thing, and where I want to kind of focus, is that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Which, what is the law of Christ? To love one another, right? We're supposed to love each other, especially the body of believers. We're supposed to love each other. So by bearing one another's burdens, which we're going to talk here in just a moment, of some burdens that we can bear with someone, we're actually helping fulfill the law of Christ. So let's look at some of the different ways that are some different burdens that we can have out there. There's the burden of sorrow and grief. Sorrow and grief. It can be the passing of a loved one, or it can be having a child that keeps getting in trouble or something like that. And whenever someone is going through the loss of a parent or a child or whatever, they're scared. They're questioning, how could God let this happen to me? There's so many different emotions that are going on. And if we've been through something like that prior, then we're able to come to them and gently help them by pointing them always back to the Word and what God says. And we can be there to be an ear for them, to just listen to what they have to say. Sometimes it can be giving them some kind of advice or something that can that you've been through, something that you can explain to them as a way to move forward past that. There's also a burden of sickness and aging. I don't know anybody that's aging, so I couldn't really speak on. No, I'm kidding. We all know people that are sick. Miss Eileen is sick this morning, and we can be there. And there's long-term sicknesses. We have a little baby, Keegan, that is going through cancer right now. Karen has a friend that is going through cancer. So there's sicknesses out there that they may need, and if we're not close enough to them to know what's going on, I know that there have been people here in this church that have gone through things that are terrible that they never really told anybody about, and then you find out later and you're like, man, they had to go through that by themselves. I wish that I had known. I wish that I was more involved in their life to know what was going on so that I could have at least been there for them and offered to pray with them and pray for them. And as far as aging can be a scary thing. I'm 39 this year, and I'll be the big 4-0 next year, and it doesn't seem like I was all that old to some folks, but man, it seems like where'd the last 20 years go, you know? I was just 20 not too long ago, and then I start looking, and I've got a 15-year-old and a almost 12-year-old here in a couple of days. Ariel will be 12, and, you know, buddy, so time passes so quickly, and it seems like the older that you get, the faster that time just gets away from you. So there's people that need to talk about that. You know, whenever I turn 40, it's like, I'm going to turn 40. You know, whoop-de-doo. I look at it and go, where did the time go? But I know that some people, whenever they turn 40, they're like, oh my gosh, my life is almost over. And then I think of the aging and what you go through. There's things that you can't do as you get to be older. Like, I used to be able to get on a treadmill and walk on it for 30 minutes. I used to be able to do a backflip in my living room, and the last time that I tried to just do a front flip, I almost broke my back. So there's things that you can do whenever you're younger that you can't do whenever you're older. And it would just come across as whining if I started talking to my friends about that, so I can't talk about that. But there's a burden of emotional difficulties and emotional scars from the past. How many of us have something from our past that we are scarred by? It's with us every day, something that could have possibly happened in our background. So we can be there to work through that. Some of us have the same kind of difficulties and the same kind of scars we're able to do. The burden of a difficult marriage. Know anybody that's gotten a divorce? Yeah. So people have been through divorce, but it's not just divorce. It can be something right there in the marriage that can be something terrible that's happening. And if we aren't close enough to someone, we're not going to really recognize that there may be some kind of a problem there. But a lot of us, you know, we've been married for a while, some of us longer than others, but we've been through a lot. Amber and I have been through a lot in our marriage, so we're able to counsel other people in marriage in some facets to try to help them through some of the difficult times. There's the burden of children with special needs or rebellious spirits. I have to be extremely grateful and thankful that my children, fortunately, haven't been extremely rebellious like what I was. So that it's a very good thing that they haven't. But, you know, some parents need somebody to be there that they can talk to and talk about these different things that's going on. The parents that have children with some kind of special needs, they go through a lot. It takes an emotional toll. It takes a lot out of a person whenever they're having to deal with some of these things. And if they've got someone that even just comes over to hang out a little while, helps them watch the baby, gives them some relief, then it can be a good thing to have. So that's one of the burdens that we can help someone bear with. There's the burden of unemployment or underemployment. That's a big one. Again, I had two babies and lost my job immediately after it. I was on an unemployment for a long time, didn't know how I was going to make everything work out, but God took care of us through that time and through jobs. And then I started my company right after Ariel was born, because I lost my job. Seems like in the tech industry there's always these layoffs, so there's employment things, and there's ways that we can help out those that are unemployed. Maybe helping out with groceries, maybe just helping them know that God's in control and they need to keep focus on that. So that's another way. And that's just like a few of the different burdens that people can have that if we're living life with that person, and we'll start to recognize some of those kind of things in their facial expressions and their speech. We'll know when something's wrong. But if we're not living life with people and we're just, you know, kind of surface friends, then we're never going to really get that deep relationship to where we're able to pray and we've got that open line. So the first thing that I think that we have to do to bear one another's burdens is we have to get to know one another. We have to live life in a way that we can tell that there's some kind of a problem. And it's again, really, really hard to get to know people whenever you know, like, I get to know a couple of the guys up there at work and someone else, because we all sit at the same table and we're talking throughout the day, and you get to know people that way. But I've gotten to know some people here in the church and hang out with some people. So we get to know people, and then we're able to start recognizing things. And I want to say I'm not the most observant person in the world at all. And people that know me really well, sometimes they have to just come out and say, hey, I don't know if you noticed or not, but my eyes are all puffy. I've been crying for a while, so here's what's going on. And then they'll, you know, they know that I care. They know that I'll pray with them, and that I'll offer any kind of wise counsel that, that I'm able to offer, which can be a way that we can bear on some people's burdens. And then a way that we can bear one another's burdens is by mentoring. We've all heard the verse from Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and man sharpens another, and one man sharpens another. So, a few years ago, whenever I first started playing the guitar again, I knew that I needed to seek out some people that were a lot better players than me, or else I was just going to, you know, keep playing the same things and not really grow in playing guitar. So I started playing with my brother, playing guitar with him. I started playing with the other guys. Randy started his lessons, and I got to start playing with Randy and learning some more, learning how to play the guitar a little bit better, because I wasn't going to grow if I wasn't seeking people that were in a different place than I was for being on for playing on the guitar. And I still have a lot of room for improvement on the guitar, by the way. So I still go and try to hang out with my brother and with our friend Matt and things like that. And I think that it's the same thing with our spiritual growth, because we learn from Paul that some folks need to be fed the spiritual milk, but there's other people that are being fed the spiritual meat, because we're all at different places in our spiritual health and our growth. We all grow at a different rate. We can't grow the same exact way, because we're all just built different. God designed every one of us to be different, and so we need to seek people that can mentor us. But that's just half. We also need to seek people that we can mentor, right? That we can be part of their lives and be able to guide them a little bit. I've got quite a few mentors. I still call Randy Mack every now and then. I talk to Big Dave. I talk to Joey White. I talk to my brother. I talk to my dad. I've got a guy that used to be my pastor whenever I was in my early 20s, Steve Harness. I'm sorry if he listens to the recording, Dr. Steve Harness, there in Florida. He moved away to Florida. But I've grown because I've sought prayer from every one of these guys, and I've sought their counseling and things that I can do differently, or ways that I can be tempted, none of that. But if I know I've got guys praying for me, then I know that that Jesus is going to pull me through whatever it is that I'm going through. And we know that if we are mentoring, or if we're being mentored, then that iron is sharpening iron, and we're going to grow. The next thing we have is prayer. Prayer is communication with God. And it is so imperative to our spiritual growth that we spend time in prayer, just talking to God. We are unlike any other religion out there, that we have a direct line to our Father in heaven. We don't have to have some kind of mediator. We don't have to have a special prophet. We need nothing but just to talk to our God and our Father that is always there and always listening and wants to hear from us. And in talking with Him, God will speak to you sometimes, and you will get a clear answer sometimes, or sometimes you'll see other things that start to happen that you're getting your answer. But we have to talk to God before we're going to start to see those kind of things. So whenever somebody's got some kind of a burden, and they need to be reminded sometimes that we need to go to prayer to God. They have that available to them, but we forget in the midst of problems, we forget that we can go to God and talk to Him. So sometimes whenever somebody's going through something, it may be best to go over there and just sit down and start praying with them, and then eventually we can pray for them whenever we're not in their presence, but we can pray with them there and teaching them how to go before God. And sometimes it's a very difficult thing that we can do whenever someone's going through something, to sit down and pray with them, because you are all scared of someone's reaction for that. But even someone that isn't a believer, there's nothing wrong with us sitting down and praying with them. But more than anything else, we have to pray that God's will is going to be done in people's lives, and not what we want done or what they want done, but what God wants to happen in their lives, and that He's going to lead them through those temptations, and that they're going to recognize that He's a great daddy and that they can go to Him for help. And the Last thing that I've got is helping. We can help people with anything in our power. We're able to help our brothers and sisters. They may have some kind of a need that if we're not living life with them, we may not know about. But if we are, we're able to help them. It may be something like going over and spending time taking care of the kids. It could be going over and painting a room with them and spending time with them. It could be painting an entire house. I've gone and helped people hang up sheetrock all throughout their house and do the taping and bedding and painting and everything just to go over and you get to spend time with them and be able to love them in the way that Christ would love them by helping them with whatever their needs are. If you're not able to do something like that, if you know someone that needs help on a car, you may know a mechanic that you could turn over to them. If you know somebody that needs some tree trimming done, you may not have a chainsaw or have the first clue on how to do that. And you may know someone that will chop down trees and could go over there and help them. Whenever it comes to tree chopping, you guys may not know this, but I know everything there is to know about tree chopping. And I decided I was going to do that over at my house when we were clearing the land. And I think it was at least 5 trees almost fell over right on top of me. One of them, I'm chopping through, and that thing just goes right down between my feet. And it was about that big around because I didn't quite know as much as I thought that I did about chopping down trees. So I know people that chop down trees, but I thought, nah, there's no reason to call them. I can do this. How hard could it be? You just pull in the little button, and it'll chop through the tree. Turns out I was wrong. So there's things that we can do to actually go and physically help, or there's ways that we might be able to financially help. But more than anything, just being there for somebody and maybe helping them find the right resources out of your resources that they can help. In Ecclesiastes, we learned that a cord of 3 strands isn't easily broken. So if we've got 2 other people that we can rely on to lift us up, 2 mentors or 2 people that we know and love and trust, then we're able to call them up and we can have 3 strands. The scripture for that is Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. I don't know if I did put that up there. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if 2 lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, 2 will withstand him. A 3-fold cord is not quickly broken. So we need people, right? We need people that we can love and that we can do life with and get to know and have prayer warriors that are part of our team. In the body, we need that, and then just the body of believers in general, we need that. And I'm going to end today's message with a story that I read about. There were some miners. I can't remember whether it was 7 or 8 of them, and I can't even remember the country, but I do remember that they were stuck down 2.5 miles down in this tunnel, and the area that they were in was about a 3-foot-wide opening, and it wasn't even all that much space, and it was about 55 degrees down in this tunnel. And to give you an idea, I think that 3 foot would be somewhere about, you know, right here. Whenever I climb underneath of our house to do work, whenever pipes break or something in wintertime, I feel like I've got more room than that, but it can get kind of claustrophobic underneath of there after a little while, and especially whenever you're, you know, sitting there with something at your chest level or whatever. So these guys are down in this dark, dark miner's tunnel. They're getting cold, and they were there for 3 or 4 days, I think, and then finally they were rescued out. Whenever they got out of the tunnel, the people asked them, like, how in the world did you guys survive down in there so long with it being so cold and not really having food and all that kind of stuff? And they said that the way that they did that is, whenever one of the guys would start getting too cold, because at 55 degrees, you know, it sounds good to Thurman, but eventually your core can start to come down and you need to get warm. And so the other guys, they would surround that guy and they would use their body heat to warm them back up. And then there would be somebody else that would get cold and they would gather around that guy and they would warm him up. And then whenever you're stuck in a cave like that, and I've tried to put my mind there, but I can't even fathom what it would be like to be stuck in there thinking that this is it. You know, they have kids, they might have grandkids, they could have had all these things, and this isn't how I'm supposed to go out. And so they're going to start to have all these different thoughts inside of their head, and it's going to make them start to go insane. So whenever somebody would start to go insane, they would the other guys, they would start encouraging, well, we're going to get out of here. We're going to be able to see our families again. This is just, you know, something. They're already up there working on it. You can hear it through the ground, so don't worry. It's going to be okay. And those other guys would build them up. And then whenever they would start to come back to a sane state, then there might be some other guy that was in there, and he starts to do the same thing. So these guys survived that because they had brothers and sisters that they could rely on to keep them warm and to encourage them and to be able to build them back up and keep each other focused on staying alive down there until the rescuers came. And Jesus is kind of the same way. He's going to come in and rescue us. Sometimes we're just kind of, we're there going through something, and we don't realize how much Jesus is actually there and taking care of us. So the miners actually understood that it wasn't every man for themselves, that the only way they were going to make it is if they worked together to stay warm, to encourage each other and build each other up and take care of each other. So whenever one of us here in this small little body at Cornerstone is hurting, or we're weak, or we're scared, then we need to come alongside that person and build them up in prayer, and build them up through encouragement, and really take care of people, because we have people that are suffering all the time and going through things that we may or may not even know about. How many people are going through something right now that is not anything you really want to even talk about? I've got things that I'm going through. So we've all got some stuff that's happening, but we don't really know, and we need to try to pray for people that are going through some of these kind of challenges together. So I want to leave you guys with this scripture from 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read 12 through 20, and then we'll be done. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So we've got all these different pieces and parts, but we all have to work together to be the body of Christ, to love each other, so that people can look in at our love for each other and see Jesus through that, and so that they can, so that we can go out into the community and love others the same way and bring them into the body of Christ. Whether they come here to Cornerstone or not, we still need to be loving other people so that they can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. With that, I'm just going to pray for us. If you guys want to come up to the altar, you're welcome to come up here to the altar. If you need some prayer about something, I'm glad to do that. Or if you want to take someone to another part of the building and have some prayer, then you're welcome to do that. Whenever Travis starts the song, I'll lead us in a prayer together. God, we love you. We trust you. We trust you with our lives. Help us learn more and more on how to love each other and how to love other people. Help us learn how to live life together, to study and grow, to be encouraging, to pray for other people. Help us to notice whenever someone's going through some trials or something's going on in their life that they are being tempted with and they're having a hard time with. Help us know how to pray for them through our relationship with other people and through our relationship with you. And we are eternally grateful that you sent your Son to live the perfect life and to die on that cross for us. We thank you especially that he rose from the grave, that you brought him up out of the grave, and he defeated death forever so that we can live for all of eternity in your presence if we trust him. like John 3:16 says. And next week, as we move closer to Easter and the celebration of Resurrection Sunday, I just want to ask that you would be with our church. Help us to minister to anyone that attends. Help us to learn more about you in the next couple weeks and what you did. Help us to grow spiritually. Help us to love the people that we need to love and to be part of people's lives that we need to be part of. And we're crying out to you for help because we need it. We are not strong enough on our own, but we know that we can get our strength through you. God, we also want to lift up the people that aren't here today. We want to lift up Alan and Diane, whatever's going on that's keeping them from here today. And we want to lift up Miss Eileen for her sickness. But many others, just ask that you be with them as they travel or whatever is going on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, guys. So next week we'll have the fifth Sunday singing.